Luke chapter 24, begin reading, as you know, in verse 1. Would you stand with me if you're able to stand? If not, remain seated. Notice verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?
Amen.
He is not here,
praise the Lord,
but is risen.
Praise the Lord.
Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee?
Amen.
Saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?
Amen.
And they remembered his words.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to look over to verse 46 for a moment. Here, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is addressing his disciples here. He's already been to the cross, and I'll explain this here in a little bit. And we read in verse 46, And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.
Amen.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name.
Amen.
Among all nations.
Amen.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
We'll stop there and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
It's been a joy to be in the service today.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you already for the things we heard, the things we sung about, just this wonderful crowd we have here this morning. Lord, bless them for being here.
Yes, thank you.
And Lord, I come before thee recognizing I am a mere man. I need a fresh filling of thy spirit.
Amen.
Lord, may all eyes be upon you, not the preacher this morning. So please lead and direct my thoughts and my words. Remove any distractions from this room and from our minds this morning. I do pray if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they get that settled and know for sure, without a doubt,
Amen.
That they're on their way to heaven. And for the believer, Lord, that you'd strengthen us through this truth of the resurrection. Again, I need you this morning, Lord, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In January 2018, an article appeared on an academic website entitled Owlcation, website was. This academic website, in their own words, was created by educators and experts on topics related to education. And the article was, interestingly, I thought anyway, entitled this, The 10 Most Important Moments and Events in History. In the article, the author, Rebecca Garf, who was a self-proclaimed student of history, listed in her own mind that the number one most important event or moment in human history was this, the American Revolution. She also included in her list the Protestant Reformation. She included the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. She included World War I and World War II. She even included in her top 10, if you will, the invention of the Gutenberg printing press. What would you list?
Amen.
What would the average person list if we were to go out here in our town, in our streets, and knock on doors and say, let me ask you a question. What would be the most important moment or event in human history, in your opinion? It'd be a lot to choose from. I mean, with over 6,000 years of human history and all the discoveries that have taken place, all the inventions, the medical and technological advances, with the rise and fall of empires, with the courageous acts of individuals that we've seen throughout time over the centuries, there would be a lot to choose from. What would you pick? Well, you know where I'm going with this, I believe.
Amen.
I would like to submit this morning that while I love America and while there are many things we could choose, I would say that there is only one solitary event that stands out above them all.
Amen.
Above every one of them. And that is, no doubt, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there are very few events in the gospel records that all four of the gospels record. But the resurrection is one of them.
Amen.
In every one of the gospel records, you find recorded the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You find it in Matthew 28. You find it in Mark chapter 16. You find it here in Luke chapter 24. And you find it again in John chapter 20. As you go through the book of Acts, you find after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven and his apostles went on preaching throughout all the world, you know what one of the topics of their preaching was? The resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The apostle Peter preached about it in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2. In his second sermon in Acts chapter 3, his third sermon in Acts chapter 4, his fourth sermon in Acts chapter 5. Wonder how you'd feel if I did that sermon after sermon after sermon. When he was in the house of Cornelius, he mentioned it in Acts chapter 10, and the apostle Paul did the same thing. His first sermon in Antioch of Pisidia was about the resurrection, Acts chapter 13. He mentions it in verse 30 and 32 and 33 and 34 and 37. Five times he's talking about this resurrection.
Amen.
When he's in Greece on Mars Hill preaching to those unbelievers, do you know one thing that he proclaimed to them, what it was? The resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts 17 and verse 31. Even when he was standing before Agrippa, King Agrippa, the powerful King Agrippa who was about to have him, really he was arrested and he could have said anything he wanted to say. What did he say to him? He didn't say, hey, release me. I'm falsely accused. I'm wrongly arrested. No, what did he do? He gave his testimony of how he got saved. You know what that included? He talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My point is this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a vitally important Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Because it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most important, profound, life-changing, eternity-affecting, peace-producing event that has ever occurred in the history of the entire world.
Amen.
You say, aren't you being a little sensational this morning? I don't think so.
Amen.
Perhaps I can prove it in a moment.
Amen.
You know, it's no wonder that the devil would want to do everything in his power to make this day about anything but the resurrection. He's okay if we have family time, and I like that too. He's okay if we have a nice meal. He's okay with even talking about bunnies and eggs and things like that. As long as it's not about the resurrection. Which is why I'm preaching about the resurrection this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But my question is this. Do you understand it? Do we understand why it's so important?
Amen.
This morning I've given the title of the message, Understanding the Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, in Luke chapter 23, if you look back there a little bit in verse 46... you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ had just died on the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine what it felt like? I mean, for nearly 33 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had walked this earth, God in the flesh, mind you. Not just any human being, God who took upon himself human form. He had an earthly ministry of about 3.5 years. It included preaching messages, performing miracles. It included picking his apostles and even birthing his church.
Amen.
But you know the primary reason that Jesus Christ came to earth? Don't miss it. Don't miss it at all. Was this, to provide salvation for all of mankind.
Hallelujah.
He came to die.
Some
hung their head when he died. Some wagged their head, thinking, well, we thought he was someone else. No, 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 1,000 times no. That's the reason that he came.
Amen.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. But in order to provide salvation for me and for you, understand what that meant, what it included. His work included not only dying on the cross of Calvary, but something else. His resurrection.
Amen.
That 3 days later he would rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4 tells us that the resurrection is a vital part, an essential part of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then 3 days later we read that he rose from the dead. This is the gospel message. This is the good news.
Amen.
But why is it so important? Let's look at our text this morning as we consider the topic, understanding the resurrection. Number one, notice the confusion of the disciples. They were confused. Notice we read now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher.
Amen.
And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Notice this phrase, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed. They were confused. When Luke 23 ended, Christ's body was taken down from the cross, wrapped in linen, and placed in the garden sepulcher. By the way, tombs in that day were like caves carved out of a rock. The body would be laid in that tomb and they would place a stone in front of it. And that's exactly what they did with Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 23, we read that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and he begged him the body. They knew he was dead. He asked if he could take his body and place him in a tomb that his family had, an unused tomb, a borrowed tomb, as we say. And that's what he did. He took that limp body down, wrapped it in linen, and he walked over and he placed it in that garden sepulcher. The stone was rolled in front. Roman soldiers secured it to make sure that what he said would happen didn't happen. He told them he'd rise from the dead.
Amen.
And then when chapter 24 begins, it's now the first day of the week. By the way, that's Sunday.
Amen.
That's the Lord's day. And we find two women and others, the Bible says, at the end of verse 1, and certain others. We know that was Mary and Martha. And they come running to the tomb, and they go where Christ was buried, and they bring spices to complete that embalming process. But when they get to the Christ tomb, they see something unusual.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The stone was rolled away.
It
wasn't where it was. It wasn't where it had been. And so what do? They enter into the tomb, the Bible says. Can you see them walking in? And they look around. By the way, it's not a very big area to look at. Probably about the area of this corner right here. You know what they found?
Amen.
Nothing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Nothing. They were looking for his body, but his body was gone. The tomb was empty. And according to verse 4, we read, this perplexed them. They were confused. They knew his body was gone, but they did not understand completely, if you will, the resurrection and its ramifications. And the truth of the matter is, many people have no idea today either. They don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand what is the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean? Why such a big deal? Why do we make, what do we sing about it? We talk about it. We preach about it. What's the big deal? You know, when I was young, and my sister and mom can verify this if you want to check the story out. I remember going to church on Easter Sunday. I remember that. I do. I remember the pictures. I remember as a little boy, I had that bow tie on, you know, and that little suit, the red suit with the bow tie. My sister can remember that, my mom. My sister had her white hat and that beautiful long, I guess it'd be kind of bright yellow dress. Man, we were ready to go. And we listened to things in church and we heard about those things. But the truth of the matter is, from my perspective, if you were to ask me at that time, what's the resurrection? I would have probably said, I don't know. No fault to my family, no fault to my fault. I had no idea. I didn't know. If you said, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean? Why did he rise from the dead? I would have said, I have no idea. And I believe there are many people like that today. Perhaps it's because of the false doctrines that are being propagated about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that after Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was merely out of existence for 3 days. And that God the Father then recreated him as Michael the Archangel to explain his missing physical body. They suggest, according to their writing in The Time is at Hand, page 129, that Christ's body probably was dissolved into gases by Jehovah. Okay. I'd like to say, where is that in the Bible? Jesus didn't say that.
Amen.
You know, to the Muslims, they teach that Jesus Christ didn't even die on Calvary. They say he only appeared to die, that he died naturally sometime later, and Allah later raised him to himself, kind of like a rapture, if you will. And to them, and this is what they write, they say, to them, Easter Sunday is about not a resurrection, but a resuscitation. Resuscitation Sunday. Doesn't sound right. Confusion.
Amen.
You know, even many professing Christians are confused. You know, in an April 2017 article in the BBC, and I understand this is Great Britain, but it was entitled, Resurrection Did Not Happen, Say a Quarter of Christians. Well, that's odd. That's a self-defeating statement, if you will. How are you saved if there's no resurrection? I'll talk about that later. But the article said this, a quarter of people who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, a survey commissioned by the BBC suggests. They went on to interview this woman. Her name was Reverend Dr. Lorraine Cavanaugh, who is the acting general secretary for the modern church. She promotes liberal theology. They interviewed her. She says she's a Christian. Listen to what she says, quote, science and intellectual and philosophical thought has progressed. To ask an adult to believe in the resurrection the way they did when they were at Sunday school simply won't do. And that's true of much of the key elements of the Christian faith. May I say that's absurd? You see, we don't have to be confused today. We don't have to wonder today. We don't have to debate, was it a resuscitation or a resurrection? We don't have to consider the idea of the Jehovah's. Well, maybe he had just dissolved into gases. We know what we can believe because we have the Word of God.
Amen.
We have a Bible. We have the inspired, inerrant, God-breathed record that declares to us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He came alive again.
Amen.
He didn't swoon. He didn't faint. He didn't fake it. His body was not stolen. He literally died. He was buried. And 3 days later, he literally rose from the dead. Hallelujah to that.
Amen.
See, the confusion can be cleared up. We just read the Word of God. So we see, number one, the confusion of the disciples. Number two, I noticed the clarification of the angels. Notice these women go in and others. They knew the body's gone and they're confused as to what has happened. Now, they're probably wondering, where did he go? Well, what happened to him? Where is he? And notice as we read in verse 4 at the end, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, watch this, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Notice what God does. God in his grace and mercy chooses here at this particular time to send two angels to them at this time. And he sees them there. Look, the angels sees the disciples confused. And notice what they do. They clear things up for them.
Praise the Lord.
In case you're wondering, we have a message for you. And notice two things they say. Number one is this, they declare the resurrection.
Amen.
They say, why seek ye the living among the dead? In other words, a grave is where you find dead people. Why are you here?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's kind of interesting because imagine if someone was missing and the only place people looked for them was in the morgue. There would be an assumption there they must think they're dead. Because if they thought they were alive, they wouldn't be searching the morgues of the city. They would be searching places where people are alive. Amen? And that's what the angels are saying to them. They're saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not dead. Then they go on to declare to these women, he is not here, but is risen.
Praise the Lord.
You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really not that difficult.
Amen.
The Bible makes it simple. He physically died on the cross. He was buried and 3 days later physically rose from the dead. Understand, his resurrection was a physical resurrection. It was a visible resurrection. People saw it, and I'll show you in a few moments, make mention of that. And it was a bodily resurrection. His body was resurrection. He wasn't a ghost or anything like that. You say, well, preacher, I don't get that. Nobody's ever done that before. That's the point.
Amen.
It proves he's God.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm going to talk about it in a moment. I like the way Paul put it when he was witnessing the King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? There might be some naysayer here today or someone listening online, a naysayer. Ah, what do you mean resurrection of that? Who ever heard of that? Let me ask you something. How big is God?
Amen.
If he is God, that means certain things about him. That means he's all-knowing, he's almighty, and he's all-powerful. Amen?
Lord, amen?
And therefore, he can and has a power to raise someone from the dead,
amen.
Certainly himself.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know that the resurrected Jesus Christ was seen again and again and again and again for the next 40 days? Do you know that there are 10 recorded post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures? Some would say, well, who saw him then? Who didn't see him? I mean, so many did. That Sunday, Mary Magdalene saw him. Mary saw him. Salome saw him. Joanna saw him. Other unnamed women saw him, according to the Scripture. Simon Peter saw him. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus saw him. Then the 11 apostles, they all saw him physically, that he rose from the dead.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That wasn't all. 8 days later, he was seen by the 11. Well, the 10, Thomas wasn't there. Over the next few weeks, 7 of the disciples saw him at the Sea of Galilee. Then 11, a little bit later, then James. And then on the 40th day before he ascended back to heaven, he was seen by his disciples there as well. Do you know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were over 500 people who witnessed, were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ.
Amen.
500. May I ask you to put yourself in a courtroom for a moment and put yourself on the jury and sit there on the jury and listen to the witnesses that come by as you don't know, you're just trying to hear what the witnesses say. And by the way, this is the way our court system works. Our jury listens to the facts and they come to a conclusion. And if they saw witness after witness, 500 of them all corroborating the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, can you imagine going back to that jury room with your arms folded and say, well, I don't believe it. I think the other jurors wouldn't be happy with you. What more do you need? How many do you need? Do you know two or three witnesses can send someone to the death penalty? We're pretty confident of witnesses if they're viable witnesses.
Amen.
And here there were 500 of them that saw it. Understand, these angels are saying to these disciples here, listen, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is alive. They declare the resurrection.
Amen.
But then notice they also describe the resurrection. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 6 again. They say, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now, I like to sometimes kind of criticize the disciples here because I want to say in my flesh, didn't you get it when he said it again and again? But then I have to look at my own self.
Amen.
And say there's many times I see things in the Bible and I don't get it either.
Right. Amen. Amen.
What they're saying here is this. They're describing this resurrection. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, notice the word, must be delivered in the hands of sinful men. Don't you remember Jesus Christ said, this has to happen.
Amen. That's right.
But they forgot it. Let me show you what I mean. Hold your hand here quickly and go back to Matthew chapter 16, if you would, just to give you an idea. There's a whole slew of times he says it here in a row. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Notice we read, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, notice, and be raised again the third day. There he's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. I am going to go to Jerusalem. I am going to be arrested. I am going to be tried. I am going to be sentenced to death. I am going to hang on a cross. But understand something. 3 days after my death, I am going to rise from the dead.
Amen.
They didn't get it. Well, look at verse 12 of chapter 17, and if you would, across the page. Notice, but I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall the Son also the Son of Man suffer of them. Look back up at verse 9. We read in chapter 17, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Look at verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. But somehow, here they did not get it. But notice, again and again and again, he's saying, this has to happen.
Amen.
Why?
That's good.
Why did it have to happen? Well, couldn't it be done some other way? The answer is no.
Amen.
You see, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, particularly his resurrection, proved some things. You say, what were they? I'm glad you asked. Number one is this, proves his deity.
Amen.
Do you know the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is God? Oh, throughout the history of this world, there has been zillions, if you will, of religious leaders that proclaim to be God, proclaim to have some sort of knowledge and be the way to heaven. But can I ask you something? How many of them rose from the dead? I'll tell you how many, other than Jesus Christ. Zero.
Amen.
Zero. It proves that he has power. He's Almighty God, and he has power over death, power over hell, and power over the grave. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You know what that resurrection proclaimed? He's God.
Praise the Lord.
Nobody else did it.
Amen.
It also, number two, proves this. It not only proves his deity, it proves a finality. You say, what do you mean by that? Do you know when God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it proved that God the Father accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice as full payment for our sin.
Amen.
So when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, and then went to that grave and rose from the dead, it shows to all of us that God the Father accepted that as payment in full for all the sins of mankind.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
If he didn't, he wouldn't have risen from the dead.
Amen.
But then there's a third thing I believe it proves. Not only his deity, his finality, it also proves his ability. How can someone who promises salvation, how can someone promise us salvation if he couldn't save himself?
Right.
We have all kinds of religious leaders throughout history that promise their religion's the way. Follow Allah, follow Muhammad, follow this one, follow Buddha, follow Confucius, follow Charles Taze Russell, follow Joseph Smith Jr., follow them. But let me tell you something, when all of them died, do you know what happened to them? They stayed in the grave.
Right. Amen.
Proving that they were not what they claimed to be. The only one that shows he has the ability to save me and you is the one that had the ability to save himself and raise himself from the dead, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, the resurrection is clearly, clearly a centerpiece doctrine in our Christian faith. So we see, number one, the confusion of the disciples. We see, number two, the clarification of the angels. And then number three, and we're done, the commission of Christ. Let me show you what I mean, the commission of Christ. Now, what does this all mean? Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to close right here. He's telling his disciples, this is what I want you to do with this information. This is what I want you to do with the fact that I died for man's sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Notice he says in verse 46, this thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ. That word behooved means it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Watch this. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
And ye are witnesses of these things. Here's what he's telling us. Christ is saying this. The resurrected Jesus Christ tells his disciples, all those that believed on him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell everybody about this.
Amen.
You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you all to go out there and tell everyone that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and he will take anybody to heaven, anybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, he'll take you to heaven if you simply receive him as your Savior. That's what it means.
Amen.
No resurrection, no salvation.
Amen.
Resurrection, watch this now, the possibility of salvation.
Amen.
It's only guaranteed if you receive him.
Amen.
As your Savior.
Amen.
You see, Romans 10:9 says this, listen closely about the resurrection. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead,
amen,
thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you want forgiveness of your sins today? You can have it.
Praise the Lord.
Say, well, how do I get it? Go to church? Nope. Become a member of this church? Nope.
Amen.
Church doesn't get you to heaven.
Amen.
Trying to be a good person doesn't get you to heaven.
Right.
The only thing that gets a person to heaven is Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
And you can know today beyond a shadow of a doubt,
amen,
that you're saved.
Right.
If you choose.
Amen.
Folks, every one of us, every one of us, has an inescapable meeting with God.
Amen.
I believe in God. You know what? That your belief in God is immaterial.
Right.
You think you can just wish him out of existence. You can't.
Right.
How did we get here? We're not going to go down that road at this time, but you have a meeting with him.
Amen.
And you can have confidence in that meeting, knowing that your sins are forgiven.
Praise
if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Hallelujah.
It's that simple.
Hallelujah.
You mean I don't have to attend church again? Nope. You mean I don't have to go knock on doors and be kind of do that weird stuff? No.
Amen.
You simply have to ask him to be your personal Savior.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Would you do that today if you haven't?
Amen.
Understanding the resurrection, it's vital.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
To salvation.
Amen.
Let's pray together.